Open my eyes, Lord. I want to see Jesus, to reach out and touch him and say that I love him. Open my ears, Lord, and cause me to listen. I want to see Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. We enter into his presence with thanksgiving in our heart. Oh, praise the Lord. We thank you, Jesus. We worship you, Lord. We long to know you better. Let your Holy Spirit have his way. Enter every room. Even though we are closed in at this time, you can always come. You come right through the closed door. Nothing can separate us from you, Lord Jesus. We long to belong all together to you. We're so thankful that it's God that works in us to will and do of his good pleasure. You have given us the desire to belong all together to you. We believe you have the power to work it out in us. Once again, we offer ourselves to you. Take us, Lord Jesus, and make us holy. Thine, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Yesterday, when we were teaching on absolute surrender, after our class was over, I was reminded that there's an easy way to surrender, and I must tell you about it. You know, some of you may have already made a complete consecration. Maybe some years ago you said, Jesus, take me as I am and make me what you want me to be. But there are others who maybe never have surrendered themselves completely to the Lord Jesus. I want to encourage those that are beginning to surrender to Jesus. There's an easy way to give yourself completely to the Lord Jesus. Jesus is our bridegroom, and he is looking for a bride. And if we fall in love with our bridegroom, it's so easy to yield to him. Praise the Lord. So, well, the easy way is the way of love. It's a shortcut. As we fall more deeply in love with Jesus, we will find it easy to open our hands in full surrender. He's looking for a bride that will say an eternal yes to him. He has given himself so fully to us. And the bride says, he is mine. We find that in the Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 16. The bride is saying, my beloved is mine. But later in the Song of Solomon, chapter 6, verse 3, the bride has come to the place where she said, I am my beloved's. She has grown in her surrender and commitment to him. Day by day, that loving surrender to his will makes certain her commitment. I once learned an old verse that said, we lose in his embrace our stubborn will. It's when we're in his arms, like the Apostle John did. He, at the Last Supper, he was leaning on Jesus' breast. When we're in his embrace, we lose our fear. These are days when people are overcome with fear. Even young people that are very strong suddenly have become very fearful. We know that God has not given us the spirit of fear. That's the scripture. His word says, I've not given you the spirit of fear, but of a sound mind. So if fear doesn't come from God, where does it come from? It comes from the enemy. And one of the things that releases me from fear is knowing that I belong altogether to the Lord Jesus Christ. Long ago, I settled it that I am yours and yours forever. Even times when we pass through stormy waters, he never leaves us. When I said yes to my husband to be his wife, that was only the beginning of our relationship. Day by day, there are times when I need to say yes to his preference and no to my own selfish demands. Recently, we celebrated our anniversary, and these are my flowers. This week, we're starting our 30th year of married life. But day by day, you see, there are opportunities where the Lord's Holy Spirit deals with me to be saying yes to my husband and no to my own ideas. That's the way it is with the Lord Jesus. We may have said, yes, Lord, I belong altogether to you, but he wants to take us deeper in our surrender to him. Jesus calls us to an overcoming life. He wants us to say yes to our heavenly bridegroom every day. As we do this, it wins the life of Christ and crucifies our flesh. I see as never before, we need the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit searches our heart. He shows us places where we want our own way, where we allow the flesh to have first place, or just ourself. Oh, if we want a perfect picture of full surrender, we look at Jesus Christ. When we want a perfect picture of what surrender is, we look at Jesus Christ. Remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, Father, is it possible that we don't have to do it this way? Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. He was completely surrendered to his Father's will. He trusted his Father to make the decision. And he's wanting us to learn to trust him that way. That's why I call this the quick and easy way, is to fall in love with him. When we fall in love with Jesus, we lose all our fear, even if it would cause us some inconvenience or some pain or some trouble. We trust him. If you have never made a complete surrender to the Lord Jesus, begin today to say yes to him. You will find it to be the happiest life. He will fill you with peace and contentment. And you will be able to say, like the bride in the Song of Solomon, not only is my beloved mine, I am my beloved's. I encourage you. Say yes to Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise. Jesus, we believe you to ourselves. We give you ourselves. And we ask you to fill us with yourself. We want to make the exchange. We want to put ourselves on the altar. And we want to receive more of you. Help us to remember every day we can have more of you as we give you more of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, now we'll go into our lesson. I just wanted to say that to you who have never given yourself, fall in love with him. Fall in love with him. And now, those who have already made a surrender, we want to go deeper. Remember that my testimony of my consecration was over 50 years ago. I had had a serious operation that was life-threatening. I was just in my 20s, and the Lord dealt with me that I must make a complete consecration. It was on March the 1st, 1966. I wanted it to be a contract. I wrote out a document of surrender. I, Martha, do give myself altogether to the Lord Jesus Christ for time and eternity. I will be yours. And I added my family, my future, and anything else he showed me. And every morning as I started my prayer, I read my contract to the Lord. I wanted to remind myself of my decision. And through these years, it's been such a comfort in trouble and danger to remind the Lord, I belong to you. I remember one day specifically when I was very disappointed. It was a time of uncertainty. I had lost my job, and the boss that was having to let me go from my job was very upset. She didn't want to let me go. I put my hand on her shoulder. I said, don't worry, I belong to God. Because I knew I was his, I had no fear, even though suddenly I had 10 minutes to clear my desk and leave the office. And shortly after that, that was about 15 years ago, we were visiting in Texas and stopped to see Pastor Chow and Mrs. Chow. Pastor Chow found I was not working any longer. He said, the Lord brought you here. You're to work with us. So you see, what seemed to be a great disappointment in losing my job, I knew God had something else for me. So we have that anchor of the soul when we commit ourselves altogether to Him. When trouble comes or danger, we have this assurance we are His, and He has a plan that He's going to work out. That happened when I was traveling with Pastor Chow, and we were, Sister Nancy and I were with him and his granddaughter when we were told he had to leave the country. It was a very upsetting time. And what do we do? They ordered both Pastor and Nancy to get on the plane and fly out on the same plane we came in on. But in it all, we knew God is high over all. All of us belong to Him, and they can only do to us whatever He permits. And before we knew it, it wasn't very long before God opened the entire e-school ministry. Now, Pastor Chow can preach in many areas at the same time, all over the world. So what the enemy meant to close the door, God opened a wider door. Even now, in this trauma that we're going through over the virus across the world, God is in control. He's still on the throne. He's reigning. He's working. He's wanting to awaken the church. He wants us to draw near to God. He wants us to make this full surrender. He wants to have our whole heart, our mind, our attention, our thoughts. Sometimes thoughts come to us and we need to say, oh Jesus, I surrender those thoughts to you. This is the way He's taking possession of us. Every time we surrender, He takes more territory in our heart. God is desiring to see His own Son reflected in us. He wants a repeat of what Jesus did in the garden. He wants to hear us say, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. As we lay down our own natural life, we have more capacity to receive the fullness of the Spirit of Jesus. Yes, many of us have been shut away from our dear friends. We're shut away from our family. Our sons are all in Canada. and our church is closed. We cannot have fellowship there. Now the Chinese have learned ahead of us how to have fellowship in secret. When Jesus rose from the dead and appeared to the disciples, they were in a room that was closed for fear. And though the door was shut, Jesus came right through it. There's nothing that can hinder him from drawing near us. He just waits for us to be more surrendered to him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pastor Chow had asked me to speak to you about absolute surrender from Andrew Murray's book. Andrew Murray was called one of the apostles of the inward life. Of course, he's written also that wonderful book on humility. He makes it so clear that we are in need of the Holy Spirit. The church often thought they needed the Holy Spirit to do great, powerful miracles. And that's true. After Pentecost, many great miracles were done by the disciples. But the greatest work was that the Holy Spirit was able to change their natures. Instead of the natural, fleshly, carnal nature, they were to be filled with the nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. The same Spirit that possessed the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus told the disciples, I'm going away, but I'll come back. He would come back in the power of the Holy Spirit. They didn't get the message when he lived and taught them 3 years. Peter was still self-confident and boastful right to the end at Calvary. He had a surrender at the beginning. In Matthew, we learn how Jesus called him to follow him, and he left his boat, he left his fishes, he left his father, he followed Jesus. And at one time he said, Lord, we've left everything for you. What are we going to have? But when Jesus started to talk to them about the cross and self-denial and how Jesus was going to surrender himself to the Father's will, Peter said, no, that'll never should happen to you. And then Jesus told him, you know, you're going to forsake me. Oh, not me, Peter said. If everyone forsakes you, it won't be me. I'm willing to give my life for you. Peter didn't know himself. And Jesus said to him, he warned him. He said, before the cock crows, you will deny me 3 times. Never, he thought. Peter said, never. I will not deny you. But the hour came when Peter found out it happened, just like Jesus said it would. And when it happened, Jesus turned and looked at Peter. When the cock crew and he knew he had denied 3 times, Jesus turned and looked at Peter. Oh, Peter went out and wept bitterly. Jesus wants to look on us. He wants to catch our eye. He wants to show us what's inside of us. Our heart needs to be exposed and set free from self-centeredness. The Holy Spirit is moving over all the earth these days to prepare a people. He wants us to be willing to come down very low and acknowledge without him we can do nothing at all. Oh, how we need to cry out night and day, let your light pierce the darkness. So after the resurrection, Jesus said to Peter, follow me. Jesus once again called him, follow me. Told him what he needed to do. It's recorded in Acts chapter 1, verse 4. Jesus said, wait for the promise of the Father. They did it for 10 days. There were 120 of them that gathered in that upper room. We don't have it recorded what they were doing all those 10 days. We only know that they chose someone to take Judas's place. We know that they were obedient. They waited. That has been the theme of Pastor Chow's teaching to all of us, to take time to wait upon the Lord. We need that time waiting in his presence. I think it was a time of deep soul searching, allowing the Holy Spirit to open their understanding to see their tremendous need. They knew they had all walked with Jesus, some of them closely for 3 years. They remembered how he spoke, how he acted, how he communicated. And in his great hour of trial, they remember they all forsook him and fled. They didn't have it in them to stay true to the Lord they loved. Oh, how we need to realize our great need. Many of us love to wait in silence before the Lord. It's comfortable to our bodies to sit still, but it should also be a time of soul searching. We should make it an altar of surrender. We need that emptying process where we say, Lord, shine your light on me. Show me myself the way you see me. Let there be some wicked way in me. After those 10 days that they waited on the Lord's promise to come to them, they didn't know how long they were to wait. They were just told to wait, so they waited. How much we need that time of waiting. Jesus had been walking with them for 40 days, and adding the 10 days to it would be the day of Pentecost, and the fire fell from heaven. The Holy Ghost fell upon them. It empowered them to do the work of God. Oh, and it did something more than power to work. It changed them. The Holy Spirit took possession of them. The Holy Spirit was poured out without measure upon them. And you find them filled with the love of God and the joy of the Holy Spirit. They had peace, even though later they would be thrown into jail. Even though Herod came and killed one of them, James, cut off his head, and Stephen was stoned to death, they were filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. This is what God was after. This is why Jesus died, to cover our sins, to make us clean, empty vessels that are fully surrendered to God, that he might fill them with himself. Remember, God is the Spirit. He is Spirit. Jesus came in the power of the Spirit. God gave his Spirit to Jesus without measure, and this was just the beginning. He wanted to make many sons and daughters to reflect Jesus. God is overjoyed when he sees in his children a likeness to his son. And the only way we can look like Jesus, act like Jesus, is to be filled with the Holy Spirit that possessed Jesus. How do we get to that place? We allow Jesus to be king. I'm reminded of Mrs. Robinson's word. You can preach the gospel, but do you know the king? Is Jesus king of all? He desires to be. He's passionately in love with his church, his bride. She's so full of defects, so unlike him in personality, so prone to live just to admire and seek great things for herself. God has given us precious time to cry out and spare not, to prepare our hearts for the coming of the King. You remember the story of the 10 virgins. 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. They didn't have oil in their lamps. Oh, how that oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. They were all virgins. They were all Christian. Maybe they were all ministers. But were they filled with the Holy Spirit? The Spirit that possessed Jesus? Now, if we are, then we know that we're filled with the fruit of the Spirit, the love that suffers long and stays kind, the joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, the peace of God that passes understanding. That's the sign that the Holy Spirit possesses us. Jesus' call to the disciples is the same for us. If you would follow me, you must deny yourself in the daily life. Yes, that is the testing ground. The daily life is the power of God on us in the daily life. He desires to have us so connected to Christ, the true vine, that his sap runs through our little branch. Let him take full charge each day while we seek only to do his will. This is the restful life that awaits us. A beautiful picture of this yielded life we can see in creation. When we look out at the beautiful trees and the flowers that are growing, they're so lovely. They partake of the glory of God without any effort on their own. God pours into them breathtaking splendor of his glory because there's no resistance on their part. That's what we need to have, no resistance on our part. How much more he would do in the human race if we learned the secret of being an empty vessel, one that is fully surrendered to his will and plan. The glory of God would be revealed in us. I've been so privileged to live with different ministers in the faith home who really had the Spirit of Christ dwelling within them. Praise the Lord. It's for us. In Ephesians, Paul tells us we're his workmanship. God does the work. And we love to work. You know, my name is Martha. I love to work. I love to accomplish things. But the greatest thing I can do is to let him work through me. And he works in us to do of his good pleasure. Jesus said, come learn of me. Take my yoke upon you. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Connected to him, the work becomes easy. I read a sign the other day that said, it's amazing how much could be accomplished if we didn't care who got the credit. I read this sign that said, it's amazing how much could be accomplished if we didn't care who got the credit for doing it, but give God all the credit. We're the empty vessel. And as you get older, I'm getting there myself. We realize how empty we are. When I was young, I had some physical problems that made me very weak. But the Lord's word is, out of weakness we're made strong. The less we feel we can do, the more we depend on what he can do. And now we can say with the Apostle Paul, I can do nothing without him. He had learned in whatever state he was to be content. He had one ambition, to do the will of God, knowing it was God who worked in him to will and do of his good pleasure. Paul tells us, oh, wretched man that I am. He discovered his wretchedness on the road to Damascus and immediately cried, Lord, what do you want me to do? And Jesus told him who he was. Oh, he suddenly, his eyes of his soul were opened and he realized his own wretchedness. In the book of Romans, he tells us the spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from the power of sin and death. Paul was not only filled with the Spirit, he walked in the Spirit. He was led by the Spirit. Can we not offer ourselves as empty vessels for the Father to fill to capacity as he chooses? Nothing less will prepare us for our coming King. We want to be among those virgins who have their vessels filled with the Spirit, filled with the same Spirit that possessed Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. It's our provision from the Holy Spirit to be ready to meet our bridegroom, to be forever united with him. Hallelujah. We need to return to the altar. Jacob had a wonderful encounter with God when he was running away from his brother Esau. He had deceived his father into thinking he was Esau, and now he had to run away in fear. But God was after him. When he laid down to sleep, he had a vision in a dream of God standing at the top of a ladder and angels going up and down the ladder. That place was called Bethel, the house of God. That's the name Jacob gave to it. At that time, Jacob made a vow that he would serve God, God would be his God. And yet 20 years later, God reminded him, go back to Bethel. Go back to your home. Remember the vow you made to me. And so Jacob got his family all gathered together and he went back to the promised land. But he got fearful along the way and of his brother meeting him and still having revenge in his heart. It was at that time he wrestled with the angel of the Lord, and his name was changed from Jacob to Israel, a prince of God. But when he met his brother, and it was a satisfactory meeting, he was still a little fearful to go with him. So he settled down in a place near danger, and it was at that place that there was a very serious problem with his daughter being raped by one of the people in the vicinity. Her brothers all took vengeance on this whole family, this whole nation, and slaughtered them deceitfully. And Jacob was overwhelmed. He was now more fearful than ever that all the other nations would hear about this and come against his family and destroy them. And in Genesis 35, we read how the Lord spoke to Jacob and he said, return to Bethel. Go back to Bethel. Go back. What did Bethel mean to him? It meant to him the place where he made his vow. Go up to Bethel and dwell there. Make an altar there to God who appeared to you in the beginning. And Jacob said to his whole household, put away the foreign gods among you. Purify your hearts. Change your garments. Let us arise and go up to Bethel. I will make an altar there to God who answered me in the day of my distress. He has been with me in the way which I have gone. The Lord spoke that verse into my heart a couple of weeks ago. Go back to Bethel. But to me that meant that he wanted me to go back to those beginning days when I first surrendered to him. Perhaps you remember the time when you first gave yourself to the Lord. I heard about someone that had been in deep sin, had awakened to his need to turn back to God. I heard from his minister, they never saw anything like it. It was a 180-degree turn. That was almost 40 years ago. I heard this. They made a complete turn. They left their old job. They left their old life. And they made a complete surrender. But in observing this person, I found that they made other surrenders along the way. Like Jake, that's the way Jacob kept surrendering, remembering how we once gave ourselves altogether to the Lord. But we return there to that place of surrender. And we say, search me, Lord. Is there anything in my life that you want to put your finger on? Will you let your bright light of your presence shine into my heart? Expose me, and I will surrender it to you. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. There was a time in my life when I had a very definite idea of what God wanted. I woke up in the middle of the night, 3 a.m, and I felt that I knew what was part of God's plan for my life. It didn't look possible at all in the natural, but I held on to it. Even though other people tried to convince me it may not be God's will. And for several years, I persisted holding on to it. Then one day, listening to a very godly minister preaching, he was speaking on surrendering our wills to God. What we think is God's will. Power of the Holy Spirit struck my heart. I felt so exposed. I wanted to crawl under the carpet. I wanted to hide. After the meeting, I left and went out into a place where I could be all alone and cry out to the Lord. I said, oh, Jesus, I don't want anything but what you want. I yield this desire to you. I surrender it to you. And the Lord showed me to go speak to the person involved. You know, he showed me that I should make confession to my minister that God had convicted me and just exposed my own desire to me. Immediately I was set free. And I cried to the Lord, whatever you want, Lord Jesus, you accomplish your will. And just a few months passed, and all of a sudden, God himself opened doors for me. They were doors of his own choosing, and it's made all the difference in my life. So we need to be careful about what we think is God's will. Though we had a vision of it or a dream about it, we just lay it all down at his feet. And Lord, if it's your will, you're big enough to take care of it. My job is just to stay yielded to you. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, here we are. We're your children. Some of us have known you long years. We've been serving you for a long time. But we hear your call that you're wanting us to go back to the altar where we say an eternal yes to you. Where we say, don't let me think my own thoughts. And don't let me speak my own words. Don't let me feel my own feelings. Give me those lights of the Holy Ghost that I am not only filled with your Spirit, I walk in your Spirit. Let us be led by your Spirit and controlled by your Spirit. Control our words, Lord. Control our thinking. Let our thoughts be your thoughts. As Paul said, let this mind be in us, which was also in Christ Jesus. He who emptied himself and became a servant to all. Come into our homes and help us to hear your voice. Help us to be directed by your plan and under the control of the Holy Spirit. Teach us what it means to deny self. The more we deny self, the more we will possess Christ. You do the work through us. Oh, to be emptier, lowlier, unnoticed, unknown, unto God a vessel holier, filled with Christ and Christ alone, in Jesus' name. Live out your life within us. In all things have your way. Amen. Watch I was seen, Jew, watch I was seen. Ah, curtain spin now, Jew and ye do, watch I was seen. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Some made you. Oh, Jesus. Fill us. Lift up your hands. Open your heart. Ask Jesus to take you now. Take you more completely. You want just to belong altogether to Him. Tell Him you receive His Spirit within you. You drink of His Spirit. You want to be filled to capacity. That Christ might be seen in you. Oh, Jesus said that we would be witnesses of His. That means our very life would be a witness. Not simply all the number of disciples we make, but that Christ would take over and live out His life within us. Oh, Jesus, we invite you in. You're looking for empty vessels. We're empty vessels. Fill us with yourself. Have your complete way in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I need, oh, I need, Jesus. Oh, I need, I need. For I need Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. For I need Jesus. Chitian, would you be willing to just close in prayer? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit is here. He's here to do you good. He accepts your offer of yourself more fully. It's good to just sit quiet in His presence. Just let Him fill you with Himself. As soon as He sees the sacrifice on the altar, He sends down the fire. Let us believe Him for the fire of the Holy Ghost. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah to the Lamb. Our session is closing, but you can stay where you are in your room, just drinking in His Holy Spirit. Amen.